Red Brick Media. High-quality CDs, DVDs, lectures, khutbah, conferences and Quran recitations. All revenue generated supports our dawah work, supported by visiting our store. You can now purchase directly from our site, www.redbrickmedia.co.uk.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu sallama wa baraka 'alayhi wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira amma ba'd. As we mentioned last week, then inshallah today we're going to begin with the new chapter of fasting, Kitab al-Siyam, the book of fasting. And so what we've done is we've skipped, or we've gone over, or we've passed over Salah and Zakah, and we're going to do fasting inshallah, and then we'll come back to those chapters later. Kitab al-Siyam in the Arabic language, al-Siyam is the word for fasting. And so Ramadan is the month of fasting, the month in which we fast. But the Arabic terminology for fasting is siyam or sawm. And linguistically, fasting or siyam, linguistically in the Arabic language, it means to withhold from something. And so when you withhold from something, that is known as a siyam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, even with in the Quran in Surah Maryam, when he speaks about the story of Maryam alayhi salam, and when she gave birth to Isa alayhi salam, she made an oath to Allah Azza wa Jal that she would not speak to anyone. And that's why when the people came and they said, what is this child? Where did this child come from? All she did was point to the child. She didn't speak. And she said, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. Today I have taken an oath to Allah that I am fasting and I will not speak to anyone. So linguistically, the word so means to withhold. Her fasting was not one of eating or drinking, meaning that she wasn't fasting from food or drink, but rather she was fasting from talking and speech. And so in the Arabic language, it means to withhold from anything, whether that be food, whether it be drink, whether it be talking, or whether it be something else. And this is the context in which Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this verse in Surah Maryam. Technically within the Sharia though, when we speak about fasting, then the meaning of the word fasting is to fast from anything which invalidates that fast with a specific intention and during a specific time. So fasting technically in the Sharia is to withhold and abstain from anything which invalidates that fast with a specific intention and for a specific amount of time. And so this is the technical definition of Siyam. As everyone knows, Siyam is one of the five pillars of Islam. Fasting the month of Ramadan is one of the five pillars of Islam. But not only is it one of the five pillars of Islam, it is one of the most virtuous acts that a person can perform. And the Prophet ﷺ in many ahadith spoke about the virtues of fasting. And from the greatest of these virtues is that it is a private act of worship that a person does. It is between them and Allah. If a person comes and they pray, everyone can see that you're praying. If you go for Hajj, there's millions of other people there during Hajj that can see you making Hajj and performing Hajj. Whereas fasting, especially outside of the month of Ramadan, is something so secretive that no one would know if you didn't tell them. Maybe even sometimes members of your own household wouldn't know that you're fasting if you chose to withhold that fact. Because when you don't eat and you don't drink and you fast, that is something private between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Azza wa Jal says in a hadith al-Qudsi, كُلُّ عَمَلْ بَنِي آدَمَ لَهْ إِلَّا الصَّوْمُ وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. All of the actions of the son of Adam are for him. Your prayer is for you, meaning that you will have a set reward. Your Hajj is for you. And every other act of worship that you do, except for fasting, and Allah says, I will reward that accordingly. And so if a person fasts and they have sincerity in their fasting, and no one knows that they are fasting except Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah may reward them with an abundant reward, a limitless reward, as is mentioned in another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every act of worship, Allah Azza wa Jal multiplies it by 10 up to 700 except for fasting. For that is between the servant and his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned that the odor or the breath of the person who is fasting is more beloved to Allah than the sweetest of musk. And so even though fasting is something which is one of the pillars of Islam, because of the nature of this type of act of worship, it is very beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only that, but it was something which was done with the previous prophets of Allah and in the previous nations. So it's not just something specific to Islam, but the previous prophets of Allah would fast as well. And they would have a type of fasting. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afdalu siyam siyami Dawood." The best type of fasting, optional fasting, is the fast of the Prophet of Allah Dawood alaihi salam. He would fast one day and he would break his fast one day. He would alternate days in fasting. And so it shows that the previous prophets of Allah would fast as well. Not only that, but even when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, he found the Jews of Medina fasting on the day of Ashura, on the 10th of Muharram, because they said that was the day that Allah saved the Prophet Musa alayhi salam and his people from Pharaoh and his army. And so previous nations would fast as well. And that's why in Islam, fasting became a very important and integral part of the religion. And it began from the very beginning of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions began to fast. And fasting was obligated in three stages. It was obligated in three stages. So the month of Ramadan, the fasting that we have now, was the final stage. And when you look at the acts of worship in Islam and the Sharia of Allah, you have some acts and some of the legislation that came in stages, and others which came at once. So for example, even the prayer. When the prayer first started, all they would pray was two rak'ahs. Every prayer was two rak'ahs. But then afterwards, the prayer for the resident, some of them became four, and some of them remained as two. So Fajr remained two, and all the other prayers were increased. Whereas when a person goes and travels, it goes back to the concession of two. Likewise, for example, if you look at the legislation regarding alcohol, it was prohibited in stages. It wasn't prohibited all at once, but it was prohibited in stages. So likewise, fasting was also legislated and obligated in stages. The first stage was the fasting of the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. This was the first stage of fasting. It was obligatory upon all of the Muslims that they would fast on this day. And so now later on, that's been abrogated. Now it is highly recommended to fast on that day. But at the beginning of Islam, it was obligatory. And that was the only day that was obligated. Not Ramadan, nothing else. Only the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. The second stage that it went through then was that then that people would have a choice. Either they could fast or they didn't have to fast in the month of Ramadan. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ وَأَنْ تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. For those of you who are able to pay, then you may feed the poor people. Meaning instead of fasting, you can choose to pay and feed the poor people. And if you wish to give extra, meaning you want to pay them extra, give extra money in charity, that is better. But for you to fast is even better if only you but knew. And so Allah Azza wa Jal gave the Muslims in the month of Ramadan a choice. This is the second stage. Either you fast, or if you're sufficiently wealthy, you have enough money, you don't have to fast, but for every day, you pay and you feed a poor person. That was the second stage. And then the third stage was that the month of Ramadan became obligatory upon all Muslims. That you can't have a choice, you must fast. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. The month of Ramadan is the one in which Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the Quran, and in it is guidance, and in it is a criterion for mankind. So whosoever witnesses the month of Ramadan, then let them fast. And so this is a commandment of Allah. If you see, you witness the month of Ramadan, Ramadan comes upon you, then you must fast. And so these are the three stages of fasting in the month of Ramadan. So there are a number of hadith which Ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentions within this chapter. And so we'll go through them insha'Allah ta'ala. The first hadith number 539. He says, رحمه الله تعالى عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين إلا رجل كان يصوم صوما فليصم. متفق عليه. On the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not precede Ramadan by fasting one day or two, except for the one who would normally fast, then let him continue fasting. And this is collected in Al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. What Ibn Hajar rahimahullah is going to do at the very beginning, one of the first things that we need to know about the month of Ramadan is how it begins. Right? What is the ruling of the beginning of the month of Ramadan? How do we know that it enters? And so what he does is, before he actually goes on to that, he's going to mention a couple of things which are concerning this issue as well. And that is that some people, they come and they fast one or two days before Ramadan, meaning the 28th, maybe the 29th or the 30th of Sha'ban, just in case. Right? They fast it not because it's part of Ramadan, not because it's their normal routine that they fast a lot of optional fasting. They choose 2 days before Ramadan or a day before Ramadan to fast just in case. Just in case what? Just in case Ramadan began early but we didn't see the moon. Just in case someone didn't predict the moon before the moon, or the calendar hasn't been set right. Someone maybe earlier in the year said that the moon was there, it wasn't there. Or maybe we didn't see the moon and we calculated the month in a certain way and it's wrong. And so because there may have been mistakes in our calculation, or because maybe we haven't seen the moon properly, we will fast just in case. And there is another hadith which will come and speak about this as well a bit more explicitly. But this is something which is prohibited in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ forbade such things. And generally in Islam, our religion is based upon clear signs. So the month of Ramadan, you see the moon, you fast. You see the moon, you stop fasting. Right? One for the beginning of Ramadan, one for the end of Ramadan. You come for Hajj, the days of Hajj are known. If you want to come and you make tawaf, you know where the starting point is. Where is the starting point? The black stone. If a person comes and they say, I want to start half a yard or maybe 100 yards before the black stone, just in case. No. Our religion is based like this. You know when to start, when to stop. You know how the religion is set out. And so it doesn't need for you to come and to do this just in case. Right? Just in case there's a mistake, just in case there's a problem. And that's why even when the people of Medina would go to Mecca to perform Umrah or Hajj, then the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is that they put on the ihram at Miqat. The Miqat of the people of Medina is Dhul Hulayfa. But during the time of Imam Malik rahimahullah, there were some people who would choose, and even today, they choose to put on the ihram from Masjid al-Nabawi, from the mosque of the Prophet ﷺ. And so when Imam Malik would see this, he would become angry. Why? Because if you were supposed to put on the ihram from Masjid al-Nabawi, then the Prophet ﷺ would have done that. He would have shown us, this is what we do. And he lived in Medina, it was his masjid. There was no one who was more attached to that masjid than him. But he would choose to go outside of Medina, to the outskirts, to a place called Dhul Hulayfa. He would put on his ihram and then he would go for Umrah or Hajj. And so going against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or is legislated by Allah just in case, or because we think it may be better, or it may be a safer course of action, this isn't something which is allowed in Islam. Rather, Islam comes and it closes the doors to this. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ is saying in this hadith explicitly, if this is what you do, then don't do it. Don't fast a day or two before Ramadan. Explicitly being told not to fast. Whereas generally the general ruling is that you're allowed to fast any time of the year. Unless it's prohibited in the Sharia, like Eid day you can't fast. But generally any other day you can fast. If you want to fast, you can fast. However, now the Prophet ﷺ is saying don't fast. Why? Because people do this for a reason which isn't legislated in the Sharia. And that's the same thing that we mentioned in the previous chapter of Tahara, when we spoke about purification. If a person goes and they make wudu, and then after that they're one of those people who shaitan constantly whispers to them. They don't know, maybe they didn't make their wudu properly. Maybe they didn't wash their right arm properly. Maybe they missed a part of their foot. Maybe the water didn't go on their face properly. And so they constantly have these whisperings, they're constantly uncertain, confused, have doubts. The Sharia comes and it says it doesn't matter. Your wudu is correct, go and pray. Don't go back and keep repeating that wudu, because shaitan is just using it as a toy. He's playing with you. He's using it as an excuse for you to go back and constantly be in the state of confusion and doubt. And so the Sharia comes and it closes the door. Likewise here, the Prophet ﷺ is saying exactly the same thing. If you want to fast a day or two before, because just in case the moon came out and the people didn't see it, then this is haram. However, if it was your normal thing, maybe a person, their normal way is that they fast the fast of Dawood alayhi salam. They take one day on, one day off. This is their normal routine. So therefore, in that case, it's allowed for that person because now he's following his normal routine. They're not doing it for the reason of just in case the moon came and we didn't see, but this is their normal routine, and so therefore it is allowed for them, and Allah knows best. Hadith number 540, وعن عمار بن ياسر رضي الله عنهما قال من صام اليوم الذي يشك فيه فقد عصى أبا القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكره البخاري تعليقا ووصله الخمسة وصححه ابن خزيمة وابن حبان. On the authority of the famous illustrious companion Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhuma, who said that the Prophet said, whosoever fasts on the day of doubt, then he has forbidden and gone in contravention to the order of Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, and it is collected by the five narrators of hadith, and it is an authentic hadith. This hadith is similar to the previous hadith, but it is more specific in the sense that it speaks about one day. And that is a day which in the Sharia is known as Yawm al-Shak. Yawm al-Shak, which means the day of doubt. Yawm al-Shak means the day of doubt. What is the day of doubt? The day of doubt is the 30th of Sha'ban. When it comes to establishing the month of Ramadan, there are two ways that we know that the month of Ramadan has begun. Number one is we see the moon. You see the moon, you know the month of Ramadan has begun, all of the Muslims begin to fast. That's the first way. The second way is that if you don't see the moon, then you complete the month. Because in Islam, the Islamic calendar can either only be 29 or 30 days. 29 days or 30 days, as the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ash-shahru hakadha wa hakadha." The month is either 29 days or it is 30 days. And we're talking obviously about the lunar calendar and the lunar month. And so it can only be one of two. On the 29th night, if you go out and you look for the moon, the people go and they look for the moon, no one sees the moon. It's too cloudy, the moon hasn't come. Whatever the reason is, there's no moon. The second way that the month of Ramadan begins is that we finish the 30 days of Sha'ban and then we begin the month of Ramadan. This 30th day of Sha'ban is known as Yawm al-Shak, the day of doubt. Why is it the day of doubt? Because maybe, perhaps, the moon was there, but we just couldn't see it. Maybe the moon came and it went before anyone got the chance to go and look for it. Or maybe it was so cloudy, maybe it was raining, maybe the weather wasn't right, and you couldn't see the moon even though it was there. And so now, again, we have another case of just in case. Perhaps the moon was there, but we couldn't see it, we couldn't witness it, and therefore we fast just to be on the safe side, just as a precaution, just in case. Again, this is forbidden. And so Ammar ibn Yasir, who was one of the earliest Muslims, Ammar ibn Yasir is the son of Yasir and Sumayya radiallahu anhuma, the two companions who were the first martyrs in Islam. Ammar ibn Yasir is a famous companion. He's saying that whoever fasts on this day, then they have disobeyed Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu al-Qasim is the kunya of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so amongst the Arabs, it was a practice, it is a sunnah that a Muslim takes the name of their child and adds the word Abu, which means father of, or for a woman, which means the mother of. And so they say the father of Abdullah, the father of Ammar, the father of Zayd, or the mother of whoever. And so likewise, the Prophet ﷺ had a kunya, and that was Abu al-Qasim. His son was Al-Qasim, and he died at a very young age. Some said even before the Prophet ﷺ became a prophet. Others said it was after prophethood, but he died at a very young age. And so the Prophet ﷺ amongst the Quraysh was known by his kunya as well, Abu al-Qasim, and they would call him Abu al-Qasim. And that's why during the time and the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade anyone from taking this kunya. Not allowed to have the kunya of Abu al-Qasim. No one else could call their firstborn al-Qasim. Why? Because just in case someone said, Abu al-Qasim said this. And he means someone else. He doesn't mean the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that listener doesn't know who he's referring to. And he thinks it's a part of the religion. And so therefore no one else was allowed to take this kunya except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The point being here, that in this hadith, as is in the previous hadith, when it comes to establishing the month of Ramadan, we have a clear guideline. And that is that we look for the moon or we complete the number of days. Either way, it is a clear marker, a clear way in which we start the month and in which we finish the month. And so to fast a day or two just in case, to fast this day of doubt, it is against the Sharia and it is prohibited by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next hadith number 541, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا رأيتموه فصوموا وإذا رأيتموه فأفطروا فإن غم عليكم فاقدروا له متفق عليه ولمسلم فإن أغمي عليكم فاقدروا له 30 وللبخاري فأكملوا العدة 30 وله في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه فأكملوا عدة شعبان 30 On the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who said that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, if you see it, then fast. And if you see it, then break your fast. And if you're unable to see it, then count the days. And this is collected in Bukhari and Muslim and in the narration of Imam Muslim. And if you're unable to see it, it is clouded from you, then count 30 days. And in the narration of Bukhari, then complete the 30 days. And in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, then complete the 30 days of Sha'ban. So this hadith now going on from the previous hadith, and that is now, how do we start the month of Ramadan? So we know that we can't do this just in case, we can't take a precaution, we must fast as according to the Sharia. And this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about how we begin the month of Ramadan, right? This is the classic moon sighting issue we have in our communities every single year for the month of Ramadan. Is it Ramadan? Is it not Ramadan? How do we know it's Ramadan? Is one moon enough for us? Does everyone have to look for their own moon? Can we follow this country or that country? The classic issue that we have every single year. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates in this hadith what is basically the two main ways. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you want to fast the month of Ramadan, then the way that you find the beginning of this month is number one, by sighting the moon. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَأَفْطِرُوا. When you see it, meaning the moon, فَصُومُوا, then begin your fasting. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَأَفْطِرُوا. And when you see it again, meaning the moon, then stop your fasting. And this is why in Islam generally it is not allowed to have astronomical calculations in defining the month of Ramadan. So that doesn't mean that a person can't use a calculator, doesn't mean that they can't use an observatory or a telescope to look for the moon. What it means is that a person a year before calculates everything. Or they use, for example, the zodiacal signs and the stars and the moons, and they do this type of astronomy to find when the month of Ramadan will begin. This is not allowed. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّا قَوْمٌ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا نَكْتُبُ وَلَا نَحْسَبُ الشَّهْرُ هَكَذَا وَهَكَذَا. As for us, then we are a people who are illiterate. We don't write, we don't calculate. The month is either 29 days or it is 30 days. And so what he means by that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is that the month is either 29 days. How will it be 29 days? Because you see the moon. How will it be 30 days? Because you don't see the moon and you complete the month. That's as simple as that. You either see the moon or you don't see the moon. If you see the moon on 29, you start fasting or you start the next month. This isn't just only for the month of Ramadan, every month of the year. You either see the moon for the month or you don't, in which case you complete the number of days from the previous month and you make it 30. This is the first way. The second way is if you're unable to see it. فَنْغُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ. It's too cloudy, you can't see the moon for whatever reason, it's raining, there's a snowstorm, you live in a country where you don't generally see the moon, whatever it is. You don't see the moon, then what do? You finish the 30 days. the 30 days of, obviously in this case, the month of Sha'ban, which is the month preceding Ramadan. The sighting of the moon is also a physical sighting. And so it's not, for example, that someone says that we know through our computers and our like systems and whatever, that in a certain part of the world, the moon will be sighted, it's visible for, let's say, 20 seconds. It is visible for 20 seconds. We know that through our systems. Will anyone be able to see it? Probably not. Not in that short space of time, but we know that it is something which will be there. Again, this isn't the type of witnessing that is accepted. This isn't what we're talking about. What we mean is the physical sighting of the moon. Someone with a naked eye or with a telescope or something, but they use their eye and they see the physical moon. So this is what we're talking about in this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And if you don't see it, then you complete the days. It is 30 days. Likewise, at the end of Ramadan, if on the 29th of Ramadan you see the moon, then the next day is Eid. It's the first of Shawwal. And if you don't see it, you don't see the moon, it's too cloudy, whatever, it's raining, then now you complete 30 days of Ramadan, and then after that will be the day of Eid. So this issue then comes to an issue where the scholars of Islam have differed. And that is, now that we know that this is the way that we look at things, right? The moon sighting is what you do. You sight the moon. The scholars of Islam, rahimahumullah, have differed over an issue concerning this. And that is one sighting of the moon sufficient for all of the Muslim ummah, irrespective of where they are anywhere in the world? Or does every country, every land, every, if you like, geographical location have their own sighting of the moon? This is where the difference of opinion occurs. So no one differs that you sight the moon. Everyone has agreed, because this is what is authentically reported in the Bukhari and Muslim from the Prophet ﷺ, you sight the moon. The issue is now, does one moon sighting, is it sufficient for everyone in the ummah? Meaning that if a Muslim in China sees the moon, everyone from China all the way to America has to fast. If a Muslim sees it in South Africa, everyone has to fast. If a Muslim in Australia sees the moon, everyone fasts. If a Muslim in Pakistan, in Saudi Arabia, wherever they are, they see the moon, everyone fasts. Or do we say that every single area that has, for example, the same kind of location, the same type of geographical location, they have their own moon sighting? And so, for example, North America has their own, South America has their own, Europe has their own, parts of Asia, the Middle East will have its own, Australasia will have its own. This is where the difference of opinion occurs. Some of the scholars, or many of the scholars, said that one sighting of the moon is sufficient. All of the Muslims fast. One person sights the moon, all of the Muslims fast. And this is based upon this hadith that we just mentioned of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. That the apparent wording of the Prophet ﷺ isn't that you go and different people sight in different lands. The Prophet ﷺ never said this. He said, if you see the moon, fast. If you see it, then stop fasting. So that's the general ruling applicable to all Muslims, irrespective of location and place and time zone and so on. This is one opinion. The other opinion, also followed by many of the scholars, and it is a more common opinion that you will find, especially amongst the contemporary scholars of Islam, is that every time zone has their own sighting of the moon. It has their own sighting of the moon. And this is based upon a narration in Sahih Muslim, that one of the Tabi'een, a man by the name of Quraib, he was in Medina with Mecca with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the famous companion. And then he went to Sham. And Sham was where Muawiyah was, radiallahu an, who was the Khalifa of that time. Sham, modern day Syria, Damascus, that area. Whilst he was there, the month of Ramadan began. And they started the month on a Friday. And so when he came back to Mecca, he spoke to Abdullah ibn Abbas. And Abdullah ibn Abbas asked him, when did you start fasting in Sham? He said, we started on Friday. He said, as for us in Mecca, we saw the moon on Saturday, that's when we started fasting. And so Quraib said, isn't it sufficient that the Khalifa saw the moon, and he's the Khalifa, Muawiyah is the Khalifa, he saw the moon on a Friday, isn't that sufficient for all of you? Meaning everyone who's a Muslim, the whole of the Ummah. And so Abdullah ibn Abbas said, no, rather our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us to do it like this. Meaning that every land has its own sighting. Not one person has to cite it for the whole ummah, but every land has its own citing. And so this opinion seems to be the stronger opinion, and Allah knows best. The stronger opinion, and many of the modern day fiqh councils have also given fatwa regarding this as well, that this seems to be, and Allah knows best, the stronger opinion. And so we merge between the two hadith. The first hadith, the hadith that we have in this book of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, is a general hadith. It doesn't speak about time zones, doesn't speak about anything. It is a general hadith. Not only that, but at the beginning of Islam, the Muslims were only located in Mecca and Medina. The vast majority of them only in Mecca and Medina. And so therefore the ruling was given generally because that was the whole of the ummah. Whereas the hadith of Ibn Abbas is much later on, when the Muslims have now spread, and there's a whole empire that spreads a very vast distance, a very vast empire of the Muslims. Not only that, but Abdullah ibn Abbas says, this is how the Prophet ﷺ taught us. So even though it is a statement of Ibn Abbas, he ascribes it back to the Prophet ﷺ, meaning that it is a hadith. It is something which was taught by the Prophet ﷺ, and so therefore this would also makes sense in merging the two hadith, that the first one is more general. It is how you view the moon, you sight the moon, meaning physically you look at the moon or you look for the moon. But the hadith of Ibn Abbas is concerning how the people of one locale, one time zone, sight the moon. And so if a person sees the moon in China, it's not obligatory upon the people of England to fast. But if the people want to follow another opinion, the other opinion, that is also something which many of the scholars have agreed with as well. And so that's why you find many of the scholars of Islam took the other opinion, that one sighting of the moon is sufficient. So this issue of moon sighting is something which hasn't just begun today or in the past 10 years or the past 20 years. It is something from the very beginning of Islam that the scholars of Islam have differed over. It is something which the four madhabs, the scholars of Islam, have differed over. Is it one sighting or is it multiple sightings? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next hadith that we have is the hadith of hadith number 542 وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال ترى الناس الهلال فأخبرت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أني رأيته فصام وأمر الناس بصيامه رواه أبو داود وصححه الحاكم وابن حبان. And hadith number 543, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن عربيا جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إني رأيت الهلال فقال أتشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قال نعم قال أتشهد أن محمد رسول الله قال نعم قال فأذن في الناس يا بلال أن يصوموا غدا رواه الخمسة وصححه ابن خزيمة وابن حبان ورجح النسائي إرساله. The first hadith, hadith 542, so these two hadiths are very similar. The first hadith, hadith number 542, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abba, ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who said that the people went out to look for the moon, and so I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informing him that I saw the moon. And so he fasted and he ordered the people that they should fast. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and authenticated by Al-Hakim and Ibn Hibban. And then the next hadith, hadith number 543, on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that a Bedouin man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, I have seen the moon. He said, do you testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah? He said, yes. He said, do you testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah? He said, yes. He said, therefore, O Bilal, go and announce to the people that tomorrow is the day of fasting. And this is collected by the five and authenticated by Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban. And Imam al-Nasa'i said that it is a mursal hadith. The two hadith are very similar. The first hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar and the second hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, both of them speak about the issue of how is the moon sighted. So we know that the moon must be sighted. How is it sighted? In the sense that is one person enough to sight the moon? If one Muslim goes out and they see the moon, and he's the only person who saw the moon, and they come back and they make a testimony, meaning they testify and swear and take an oath by Allah that they saw the moon, is that sufficient or do we need two people? This is the issue that the two ahadith speak about. Generally in the religion of Islam, when you have testimony, it is two people. Generally, when we talk about testimony, testification, you have two witnesses. That's why in a marriage contract, you have the bride, you have the groom, you have the wali, and you have two witnesses. Right? That's why when a person is writing a will, or maybe for example, if a person is loaning someone some money and they're writing a contract, or they have some type of a business arrangement, they're writing a contract, how many witnesses do you need? Two. So the default number is always two. It is two witnesses. Right? Even for the months generally falls under that ruling as well. So the months for a person to come and testify that I saw the moon of Muharram, or I saw the moon of Rajab, I saw the moon of Rabi'ul Awwal. You need two people because it falls under that general ruling of two witnesses. However, when it comes to the month of Ramadan, now this is different. Not only is it a month of the year, but we're talking about one of the pillars of Islam and a great act of worship. So in that there is an exception. That if a person comes, just one person who is trustworthy, and they come and they take an oath by Allah that they saw the moon, it is sufficient for all of the Muslims to begin fasting. And that's what's mentioned in both ahadith. So in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, he's saying that I saw the moon, I told the Prophet ﷺ, so the Prophet ﷺ fasted and he ordered the other Muslims to fast. In the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says that a Bedouin man came from the desert. He saw the moon, and once the Prophet ﷺ took his testimony, made sure he was a Muslim, took his oath, then he told the people to fast. So the scholars of Islam said, why is it that the month of Ramadan only requires one? Whereas the month of Shawwal, for the moon of Eid, you still need two witnesses. So for Eid, you will still require two witnesses. But for the month of Ramadan, one is sufficient. Why? They said because the month of Ramadan is an act of worship. And so people most likely won't come and make up that the month of Ramadan has begun. Because Ramadan means that you have to fast, you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't do so many things. There are so many restrictions in the month of Ramadan. And because of that burden of fasting and worship, then a person most likely wouldn't make this up. They wouldn't come and they wouldn't just falsely say that it's Ramadan when it's not Ramadan. Whereas for Eid, they may do this, to finish Ramadan early, to get out of fasting, to make Eid come earlier. They may come and they may lie. And so for Eid, you have the two witnesses, whereas for Ramadan, you have the one. That is, in the opinion of some of the scholars, the wisdom behind this. However, as we have said before, whether we know the wisdom or we don't know the wisdom, it is authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is sufficient for us. Hadith number 544. وعن حفصة أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من لم يبيت الصيام قبل الفجر فلا صيام له رواه الخمسة ومال الترمذي والنسائي إلى ترجيح وقفه وصححه مرفوعا ابن خزيمة وابن حبان وللدارقطني لا صيام لمن لم يفرضه من الليل. And we'll also take the next hadith, hadith number 545. When Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, دَخَلَ عَلَيَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ فَقَالَ هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ شَيْءٌ قُلْنَا لَا قَالَ فَإِنِّي إِذًا صَائِمٌ ثُمَّ أَتَانَا يَوْمًا آخَرَ فَقُلْنَا أُهْدِيَ لَنَا حَيْسٌ فَقَالَ أَرِينِيهِ فَلَقَدْ أَصْبَحْتُ صَائِمًا فَأَكَلَ أَخْرَجَهُ إِمَامُ مُسْلِمٍ. On the authority of Hafsa, the mother of the believers, radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whosoever doesn't have the intention to fast before Fajr, then there is no fasting for such a person. Collected by the five, and Imam al-Tirmidhi and al-Nisa'i said that it is a statement of Hafsa, however it is authentically reported as a hadith by Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban, and in the narration of ad-Dharqutni, whosoever doesn't make the intention from the night before to fast, there is no fast for them. And the next hadith, hadith number 545, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered upon me one day and he said, do you have anything to eat? I said, no. So he said, therefore I am fasting. And then he came to us another day and we said to him that we have hais, a type of food. And he said, let me see this type of food, for indeed I woke up and I thought I would be fasting. And instead he broke his fast and he ate. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. These two ahadith refer to the next issue now that we know when the month of Ramadan begins, how to establish the month of Ramadan, the issue of moon sighting. The next issue is the issue of intention, the issue of intention or niyyah. As we know generally in the Sharia, we mentioned this before as well in the previous chapter, and as you know, that intention is an essential pillar of every act of worship. So to worship Allah, you must have sincere intention. If a person comes to pray, they must make the intention for prayer. Person goes and they give zakah, they must make the intention for zakah. Person makes hajj or umrah, they must have the intention for hajj or umrah. Any act of worship requires intention purely and sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. Actions are judged by their intentions, and every act, every person will be rewarded according to their intention. And so therefore the intention is a fundamental part of the religion, every act of worship. Likewise with fasting. So if a person wants to fast, they must have an intention for that fasting. Is this fasting an obligatory type of fasting? Is it an optional type of fasting? Is it the fasting of Ramadan? Is it the fasting of the 6 days of Shawwal? Is it the fasting of the day of Arafah? What is this type of fast? And the intention for the acts of worship are made in the heart. Intention is made in the heart. So you don't have to say anything verbally. And there's only one or two exceptions to this rule. But generally for acts of worship, the intention is in the heart. And so you come and you make the intention in your heart that now you will worship Allah Azza wa Jal in this way. So now the same with fasting. The issue here now comes in the month of Ramadan. Is Ramadan one act of worship? Or is every day of Ramadan an act of worship in terms of fasting? So is the whole of the fast of Ramadan one? Meaning that you make one intention before Ramadan begins, the month begins, and that's enough. You don't have to make it a rule for the rest of the month. Or is every single day an act of worship? So you make the intention every single night before you begin to fast. This is the issue here. And so from the hadith of Hafsa radiallahu anha, which is an authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that you must have the intention in the night. Meaning every night you have the intention. And so Ramadan, some of the scholars said that you have one intention for the whole month. Others said for every night. And that opinion is stronger. That every night you have a new intention. Because some days you may not fast if you're traveling, if you're ill. If there's some issue, you don't fast on that day. And so that day is different. And so every day, even though Ramadan is one collective act of worship, each day can have a different ruling. Each day can be different because each day is separate. Right? There is a gap between each day. And so likewise, therefore a person who comes in the month of Ramadan, not only will they make that intention at the beginning of Ramadan, they're going to fast the month of Ramadan, but every night they will make the fast. They will make the intention to fast. And that intention must be done before Salatul Fajr. In the night. So before Salatul Fajr, by some time, they must have made that intention that the next day they will fast. This is the opinion of many of the scholars of Islam, and it is a stronger opinion, and it is what this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ refers to. So one intention is not enough. For a person to come and not have no intention is not sufficient either. So every night of Ramadan will have an intention. Likewise, for a person, for example, if they were going to fast on the day of Arafah, the day of Ashura, or some other day, an optional fast, they would make the intention in the night as well. That they're going to fast this day, and then they would fast that next day. However, in the next hadith, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, this has a different take. There is a different ruling within this hadith. And that is that the Prophet ﷺ enters in the house of Aisha. And he asks her, do you have anything to eat? And she says, no. And then he says, therefore I am fasting. So it shows and implies that he didn't have the intention to fast before, from the night. But rather he came in looking for food, wanted to eat. But because they had nothing, because as we know, the Prophet ﷺ and his households were so poor, that for many days and for many months, they wouldn't light a fire. And often they would only survive on water and dates. So when he came in and he found that there was no food, then he said, therefore I am fasting. On another occasion, the Prophet ﷺ came in and Aisha said, we have hais. Hais is a type of food where they grind dates and they make it into a paste. They have a bit of oil and they add some other stuff and they make it into a date type of paste. And even now, if you go to Medina in Ramadan and you break your fast in Medina, you will find that people give you this type of date cake or date paste. It is known as hais in the Arabic language. So Aisha said, O Messenger of Allah, we have hais. Someone gave us some of this type of food. And so the Prophet ﷺ, when he saw it, he said that I was going to fast, but now I will eat. So this hadith seems to be different to the previous hadith of Hafsa, where you must have the intention in the night before. How do we combine and merge between these two hadith? The scholars of Islam said that the first hadith of Hafsa is for obligatory fasts, and the second hadith is for optional fasts. So the first hadith, the hadith of Hafsa, is for any obligatory type of fast. What are the obligatory type of fasts? Number one, the month of Ramadan, obviously, right? Number two, any days that you miss in Ramadan, what is known as qada. So if you miss a day in Ramadan, it is wajib, obligatory upon you to fast that after Ramadan finishes. Number three, an oath or a vow that you make. So if a person comes and they say, I make an oath to Allah that I will fast 2 days this month, those 2 days are obligatory. They must fast those 2 days. They have taken an oath by Allah to fast, so they must fast. These are obligatory types of fast. For them, the intention must be made in the night before Salatul Fajr. However, other optional acts. So we're talking about, for example, a person just wants to fast. It's just their thing where they fast some days of the month. Just randomly, they want to come closer to Allah, they want to fast, they want to partake in this act of worship. So now for them, they have until midday to make their intention. As the scholars have said, they have until midday. Why midday? Because until then, most of the day is still theirs. Once half the day has gone, then most of the day has finished. So now their fasting won't be accepted. But if the intention comes in, it kicks in before most of the day has expired, then it is valid for an optional fast. And so if a person wakes up in the morning and just randomly they just decide they want to fast, it's like 10 o'clock in the morning, they just decide to fast on that day, they haven't eaten, they haven't drunk, they haven't done anything that would invalidate their fast, then they can fast. Okay, so bear in mind, if a person was to wake up at 10, have a big breakfast and say, 11 o'clock, I think I'll fast today. Right? I feel like, you know, I can do a fast today. No. We're talking about someone hasn't invalidated their fast in any way, shape or form. Right? They haven't done anything yet and they just decide to fast, then it is allowed for them up until midday. Likewise, the opposite is true as well. That if a person had an intention to fast, they thought that they'd fast, but when they wake up, they smell, mashallah, their wife's making something really nice, right? The kitchen smells really good for breakfast. So they decide that they will eat, they may eat. Right? They may eat. However, it is better for them to finish their fasting because Allah Azza wa Jalla, especially if they had the intention. But what we're talking about is someone wakes up in the morning, they don't have an intention, they want to fast, but then they decide not to fast. However, if someone from the night before had the intention to fast, an optional fast, it is better for them to fast on that day because Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Don't nullify your own deeds. Right? Don't nullify your actions. If you've made this thing that you want to worship Allah, then don't nullify that. Right? Go ahead and worship Allah Azza wa Jalla and fulfill that obligation. And so therefore, in this hadith, the intention not only is obligatory in Ramadan, it is obligatory for every single night, it is a part of Ramadan. And for obligatory fast, it must be made for the night before. For optional fasts, you have until midday to decide. If you wake up, you have invalidated your fast, and you choose to fast, then you may do so. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. And inshallah, I think we'll stop there. And inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow, inshallah, after Maghrib as well. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala bin Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Are there any questions? When it comes to the geographical locations, the time zones of sighting the moon, then it doesn't really matter if it is a Muslim country or a non-Muslim country. However, the issue is that in the Muslim countries, they will have a process that is set up. And so, for example, for a person to come and sight the moon, they will go to probably a courthouse, they will go in front of a judge, they will take an oath by Allah that they sighted the moon. There is a process there, and it's not just for Ramadan and Eid, but it's throughout the year. The problem in the West is we have no such system. If I sight the moon now, how am I going to tell everyone? Right? I might come to this masjid and say something, but how? There is no process there. And so in the West, this is the problem that we face. The other problem that we face is that we don't do it except for Ramadan. So Ramadan, it's a very hot topic. But for every other month of the year, no one cares, right? No one wants to know whether it's Muharram or whatever, right? And so this is the problem that we have. And that's why generally in the West, you find that the countries refer to other countries like Saudi Arabia, like maybe Morocco, other countries that have a system set up. Simply because we are unable to do that here. And Allah knows best. So this opinion, the second opinion of Ibn Abbas, the narration that we said, is every time zone, right? Every geographical location. So therefore, it would make sense that you refer to the closest Muslim country rather than Indonesia, right? Which is nowhere in your time zone. Yeah, so as long as you make the intention before Salatul Fajr, the intention is okay. So if today now you made an intention that you want to fast tomorrow, it would be okay. If it was after Asr today that tomorrow you want to fast, it would be okay. If it was in the night, then it would be okay. Okay, so inshallah we'll stop there. Inshallah, I'll see you tomorrow. Jazakumullah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.